Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. Give yourself a hand for pulling off one of the tightest finishes in history. What a cool opportunity. And so the reason I showed that is not only because we won, but we're going to talk about victory today, and we're going to look at testimony. We've done this here before over the years, and I always enjoy this time where we get to learn about our teammates, especially when it comes to their faith. And so when we think of victory and we think of testimony, it's important because as believers, we have victory in our testimony when it comes to the end of our life. And so, Damon, will you put the word testimony up there for me? Listen to this. This is a testimony, a formal written or spoken statement, a public recounting of a religious conversion or experience. And so that's why we do what we're doing today, right? A testimony is important. And where do we get this from? Well, I take it out of Revelation 12:11. If you could put that up, Damon. They won the victory. Who's they? The believers. They won the victory over him, meaning Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb, who we know is Jesus, and what he did on the cross, and the word of their testimony. Right? Victory not only comes through the blood of the Lamb, but through the power of a testimony. And so they didn't love their life so much that they refused to give it up. And so I want to read this real quick before Brian comes up. So what is that? What does that mean to us? Well, listen to this. As believers, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And this removes them from Satan's kingdom, meaning believers of darkness, and places them in Christ's kingdom. And so as believers, the testimony also assists in conquering the devil. He cannot defeat us if we resolutely, in other words, unwavering, in an unwavering manner, confess our faith in Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to defeat the devil once more right here on this stage. So Brian, will you come on up? Give Brian a hand. Not sure if you know this, but if you follow the Hendrick Motorsports website, there was an article posted about Brian today. Perfect timing. But I encourage you to go back and read that, learn a little bit about Brian. So Brian Campy is the technical director up there in the race shops. And Brian, first of all, what does a technical director do?
I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. A little bit of everything. My responsibilities is the engineering that doesn't travel to the racetrack. So the Aero Group, the QC Group, Kevin Simulation Group, the Seven Post, Tom Gray, and all those guys.
So Brian has actually been here for a few years, but he was here before, way back. I remember that, a little bit younger then. And then he went away and was on some.
You didn't have gray hair then.
Yeah, I know. That I had a daughter. And I work here, right? But he came back. He went and was on some other race teams. You're going to learn a little bit about that. But tell us how it is you did get into racing, Brian.
So I was living in Alabama at the time, and my high school football coach knew I was into racing, so he got me a job building racing engines, and we built engines there, and then my boss told me if I didn't move to North Carolina, he was going to fire me. So I moved to North Carolina, finished my degree here at UNC Charlotte, and my first NASCAR team was the 49 Friendlies car, Derek Cope. I worked for free, building crush panels and putting windows in, and called me schoolboy, so...
Schoolboy Derek Cope, remember Daytona 500 winner? He beat Dale Earnhardt Sr.
That's right.
To win that Daytona 500. And he worked for free. right, for free. How long did you do that?
I probably did that for 6 months, and then I went across the street to Greg Anderson, and I was like, I got to have a job that makes some money, and he was going on the West Coast swing, and he said, okay, when I come back, you can start, you know, here in the engine shop. I said, okay. And while he was on the West Coast swing, Dave Charpentier hired me at DEI as an intern, and that's how I got kept my foot in the door of NASCAR.
So. Yeah, and then eventually ended up here. What years?
05 through 09. So 05 with Kyle Busch, Casey Mears, and then went over to Junior Motorsports when Dale came and was over there for the Scott Wimmer, kind of that all-star car that everybody drove. Got an opportunity to be crew chief on that. That was really special. And then Brad drugged me over to Penske when he came over there and worked on the Xfinity and the Cup and then eventually the IndyCar team.
Yeah, so this is important here that he mentioned IndyCar. So if I'm correct, Brian, you have won two Indy 500s as a team.
Total of three.
I missed one. So three Indy 500s as an engineer, correct?
Yes, sir.
At Penske.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's pretty cool. What was that like?
There's no better feeling than winning Indy 500. I'm sorry to say that. I'm sure, you know, I'm not supposed to say that in here, but the Indy 500 is such a special to me, anyway, a real special place in my heart. There's so much tradition and so many people have won there, and it's such a beautiful display of racing, in my opinion. And, you know, it's 300,000 people. I was there for the 100th running, and there was almost 500,000 people there. And to see 500,000 people come together for something is pretty amazing. So it's just a really special place to me.
Yeah, wow, that's cool. And just so you guys know, you will be with Kyle Larson in a few weeks, all throughout the Indy 500, right? And then
yes,
you have
sir.
A role in that. And what is your role?
Yeah, I'll be the strategist on the car. So I'll be calling strategy and communicating with Kyle all through the month of May, the 2 weeks. It's not a month anymore, which is, thank God it's not. So, But I'll be there for 2 weeks, be the voice on the radio, help with the strategy, make strategy calls. And it's kind of akin to being the special teams coach on the New England Patriots. If they don't talk to me or show my face on TV, I'm probably doing an okay job.
Yeah, but what a great reason to watch the Indy 500, not just because of the race that it is, because we like racing and that our driver's racing, but also Brian will be there with some other teammates. You're not alone. Some other people from Hendrick will be there as well.
Yeah, Shaky will be there on the team with me and his spotter, Tyler. So we'll be there full time. John Edwards as well. And then throughout the month or throughout the 2 weeks, some guys will come and go and get to experience it as well.
Yeah, what a great opportunity. So three Indy 500s, man, impressive. And so obviously we're the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch, so we're faith-based, and that's, of course, the direction we want to go. And if you don't know Brian, if you've been around him a little bit and sat with him and talked, one thing you will notice is that he is a follower of Christ, he's a believer. And so we want to talk about, you know, the part of the testimony. How do you get there, right? Going and being and doing all the things he's done. How did he get to the place where he chose God? And so how did you come to believe and be a follower of Christ, Brian?
Yeah, so 2016, my brother passes away, and through some really good friends, encouraged me to join a group, F3, up in Mooresville. This is basically a workout group. We work out super early in the morning, and then we also had Bible study on Fridays. So we'd go to Bible study and became really good friends with Chris Hazlett, and he just stayed after me for 5 years probably and getting him to, you know, encouraging me and teaching us through the Bible study and really, you know, laying out the story of Jesus and how he died for me, you know, and that time on the cross was for me and how much he loved me. And I went over to his house one night, and another friend in F3, Brad, we had a podcast, and anyway, we were just hanging out one night, and, you know, just kind of brought me to tears to the realization of how much Jesus loved me, and that was kind of the first step. And then invited him a couple months or weeks later, it was February, invited him to come over, have lunch with me. We went to the smoke pit, because I'd just been introduced to the smoke pit coming back to work over here. We don't have that in Mooresville, and it's pretty great. So I went over there on Freeside Wednesday, and he challenged me, and I, you know, gave my heart to Jesus right there in the middle of smoke pit, you know, on Freeside Wednesday. And it was the greatest thing, you know, just that story, the comedy of it and how it came about, I think, is this just a story of my life of just kind of awkward things and awkward places, and everything works out. That's probably more information, but that's how it happened for me. And it's just been, 2 years now. It's completely changed my outlook on what I do for a living and what my focus is and what kingdom I'm trying to build.
Yeah. What I like is in my notes here, he said that Chris, he would not leave me alone.
He would not. He would not.
I want you to think about that. So he's a believer, right?
Yes, sir.
At F3. If you don't know F3, it's a workout group who I've been to F3 and they tried to kill me and I never went back. It's pretty intense, but what's unique about F3 is they're believers. They really believe about mentoring men and coming alongside people and sharing Christ with them. So he wouldn't leave you alone. In what way?
He just gave me examples. He's like, yep, that's Jesus working in your life. You know, and I'm over here trying to white knuckle this thing, you know, trying as hard as I can and just kind of always bringing it up, always being someone there that I could trust in and always drawing some correlation back to scripture. And when I described the before and after, I felt like I was in a boat on rough seas and I constantly worked on building a better boat and getting the things in the boat I needed. And like, I can just beat these seas if I just build a better boat. And the instant I gave my heart to Jesus, the seas calmed down and it's like, hey, dummy, you were working on the wrong thing. You know, there's power out there that can calm the sea. You don't have to build your boat all the time. And that's kind of the analogy I've used to describe my journey as of recent. And now I've went from this boat that I've been trying to build and I'm like, I'm okay with a dinghy. I'm sitting there in the middle of the ocean. There might not be any wind, but I'm gonna be okay. Because I know Jesus has got my back. At our church, we've got IGYB. I've got your back. You know, that's been our mantra at church through our men's group in a while. And so that's really gotten a hold of me and you know, how my outlook on it, if you will.
Yeah, and so Chris has been helping disciple you, right? You guys are still great friends,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Didn't you tell me you speak about every day?
Pretty much call him every day. Every day I'm away home from work, so.
Yeah, I wanna challenge you guys with that. Like, if you don't have someone in your life like that, to find someone in your life like that, just remember, if you do have that one friend that is bugging the heck out of you, it may not be a bad thing, right? Because he does or she does. They really do care for you. And not only that, he gives his life to the Lord at the smoke pit. I love that because we can begin to say, I'm going to believe this anywhere. And he's still in contact. They're still great friends. So now in a place of discipleship, which is where you grow with one another.
Right.
Yeah. And so, man, what a great testimony there of just, and this was 2016.
No, this was 2021.
Oh, so 2021. So a lot of your racing career was, you were not a believer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then now you are, and that segues into this question. How has your faith affected the way you work in motorsports now today versus then?
Yeah, so kind of two things. A lot more folk. It's kind of relieved bitterness for me, I think is probably the relief part. So, you know, what we do, you can get extremely bitter towards people and towards situations and things like that. And now that is not something I hold on to as strongly anymore. I'm sure it happens from time to time. It's going to happen. And I think the second thing is I've been more conscious of the gossip part of the business and always remembering that the person I'm talking about or the person I'm competing against or the person I'm trying to work with is, you know, built in the image of God, and what kingdom are we trying to build together? You know, is it this racing thing, or is it something bigger? Is it something like this that can reach people, or can I, you know, when we're out to dinner on the road, I got this from Bruce Frank in Asheville, it's when the waitress comes and says, hey, can I get you anything else? And you say, well, is there anything I can pray for you about? And every single time, they will tell you something.
Yeah.
And just being out and about and having that Hendrick shirt on, if I'm in that restaurant with that and I say that, they maybe associate that with what we have here and the racing in general and be a steward of that, I think is something. And when I was crew chief for the 24 for a little bit, when I was filling in for Rudy, I was like, okay, I worked harder on what the pre-race prayer was going to be than anything else because I was so nervous to do that. So those are some things in motorsports that have really... you know, my outlook has changed and you don't ride the ups and downs of the business so much. I mean, when you have a bad race on Sunday, it's hard not to come in here on Monday and be sad, but you know, there's something else out there and, you know, and you just keep moving forward and that has been a really big relief and I don't take that as home as much, so.
Yeah, one thing you said, Brian, I know I am more concerned about the lives and careers around me other than my own. Like, that's a show of leadership, right? A boss is concerned more about themselves, where a leader is concerned more about the people over them and they're working for. And that's what God does to us, right? We start seeing people more and wanting the best for them instead of ourselves. And so that's a great testimony. Also, you put, I'm trying to figure out how to use these talents to build God's kingdom. Like, once you've won a lot. Even when you were here before, three Indy 500s, all the races we've won here, it's a lot and it's cool. It's great to win. We love winning. That's why we like the H's over there. But we've always said this, but what's next? There's always more. Like, how many rings can you get? And how do you keep that in perspective? And I like that, as you say, how can I use these talents, the ones God's given you, because your talents may be different than someone else's. How can you use those to do what? Not make you better, right? But to build God's kingdom. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, recently has been on my heart is, I've said it a couple times, and when we get bent out of shape in some meetings or some things go bad, it's like, okay, you know, calm down. We're not curing childhood cancer here, right? So put things in perspective. But on the flip side of that is, what can we do here and the talents, you know, that God has graced me with, that to continue to build his kingdom instead of building my kingdom and the next thing and the next and the next. And that's kind of been the focus of, okay, the people that I am around and can have influence either up or down, how can I use that for God? And I'm certainly working on that, but it's something that's hopefully at the forefront of my mind when, you know, interactions happen and when I walk in the door here every day.
Yeah. So next question, how has your faith, Brian, affected the way you work in the motorsports industry? So you've talked about that. But what does that look like for you lately? Like, what's God doing in your life now and here lately? Obviously, in a couple weeks, you're going to Indy. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I've certainly leaned into prayer a lot more and trusting in the Holy Spirit, and even to the point where I pray before meetings because you never know what's going to happen, or, you know, sit in my truck a little bit before work if I know a tough day's ahead. I think in outside of here, the most recent experience that it's really become apparent is I have an 18-year-old that's going to go to college and move away for the first time. And, you know, some of you know this, 18-year-olds don't really want to do what you tell them because they're 18, and that probably starts when they're 12. But, you know, he was really dragging his feet on getting everything he needed to do for college and, you know, making a decision and all these things. And my wife and I were trying to push him in a direction. And we just had one of those days where I'm like, I'm going to get into his you-know-what, and I'm going to show him who's boss in this house, and he's going to do what I tell him. And I was about this far from walking into his room, and I heard, stop. And I just stopped, and it was, I got this. And so I walked away, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to pray. You know, you're a better father than I. You can do more than I can ever do for him. I've done what I can do. It's, you know, I'll give it to you. And the last 2 weeks, he's been on everything. He's got him a roommate. He's got everything signed up. He's being proactive. He's got it all done. And I just think of what would have happened if I'd have went in there and yelled at him and jumped his butt about not being ready, and it would have ruined our relationship instead of me, again, trying to white-knuckle it all the way to the ground. You know, there's going to be those times when you are right at that edge, and those are the times, I think, when you have to look and go, okay, there's got to be a better way to do this. And that was just one of the most recent ones that I can point to.
Yeah, and this week, if you're attending the devotions, you know this, but the devotion this week is the difference between a boss and a leader. And you could have went in there and bossed your son as a father, but you chose to step back and lead him. And that's important. You wrote here, you've been leading or being called to disciple your family more. Can you touch on that? Because sometimes I think we see that little theological word, disciple, and we're like, what is exactly does that mean, disciple? Could you explain that?
Yeah, so I think it's certainly something I'm a rookie at, and still got my rookie stripes. But I think for me, it's just being an example. The hardest thing for me, or one of the hardest things, was what's my family going to think? You know, I grew up Catholic. My wife grew up Lutheran. Our kids never really were introduced to the church or anything. We, you know, grew apart from the church, and It's like, okay, what are my kids going to think? And what is my wife going to think? And what's that going to be like? Is it going to be awkward conversations and awkwardness? And I just went to church every Sunday and I said, hey, does anybody want to go to church with me? And for 6-8 months, it was like, nope, nope, you know, sleep in Sunday, right? So I just tried to just be an example, not force it. And now it's, we look forward to Sundays. You know, we go out to breakfast afterwards, and it's probably one of the few times during the week where all five of us are together, not in our phones or whatever. And, you know, I've found out my wife is an evangelist, so who knew? She's probably, we fill three rows at the church now of people my wife has drawn to the church. I feel bad. I mean, I'm like, I've got one, you know, and she's got 20 people there that every week are like, oh, I'm so glad you invited us to church. And, you know, four of them got baptized the last time, and it's just amazing. I was like, my wife is the evangelist. I'm the theologian, I guess, of the family. And it's just been great. And my son the other day, he texted me. He's like, Dad, is heaven for real? I said, I don't know. Let's find out. You know, and I send him scripture once a week. He's like, okay, what do you think? You know, and we talk about it. And he's 13. And, you know, my son got prayed over at church this weekend. He's going to college. And you know, it just really, everyone seems to be leaning into it. It's just been a really amazing experience the past really year and a half.
Yeah. So one of the last questions was, and he just answered this, but it was, what can you challenge us with today as we leave here? Because we always like to be challenged. And what I like about this is I often tell people this, and I've told many of you this, like you don't have to be some 30-year in the game sanctified theologian to talk about your faith and share that with people. You're hearing from someone who many of us worked with many years ago, who was not a believer, and now he's here, and in the last few years, he's become a follower of Christ and understood what the gospel is. And now he's, I like what he wrote here to me, it's the power of setting the example, right? And God has called us men, especially with families, he has called us men, commanded us men to be an example, to be the leaders in our home. And what was very moving about this question is, man, I used to go to church and I would just go by myself while his family was at home. Now, if they didn't want to go, he could have chose to stay home. But what kind of example would he have been setting? So he chose to go anyway. And in doing that, eventually they start coming. And now they're filling rows. And his wife may be feeling more the rose because she has that evangelistic gift and calling. But that only happened because he chose to go and set the example. Now I get it. John 6:44, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So in all of this, he has been answering to the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Because I'm sure there were times you went by yourself and you're like, what am I doing here? My yeah. family's not even here.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yep.
And so with that, you have to be proactive, all of us, in going, man, am I going to really, truly set the example? And I would believe and say this, that most people are wanting to look and see who is setting the example. I know you say this, but do you do this? Do you actually live it out? And so with that said, your wife's the evangelist.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that means, that is someone that is proclaiming the good news of the gospel, right? And so the Bible says that many are given different spiritual gifts and some are evangelists, meaning this, like they're going to go out and they're going to share their faith and talk about their faith to people a lot. Some are more gifted at teaching or theologians or at serving or givers. They're gifted at things like that, spiritual gifts. And so the interesting thing is how you and your wives probably complement one another.
Yeah, I hope
right?
so, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Maybe like, not all the time.
like me, I'm not the best at being a giver, or I'm trying to be the best at being a better servant.
Yeah.
Right? But mine is more like I'm a teacher, discernment. Man, you want to dig deep into theology, come to my office and we'll dig deep and I'll get you there. But that's not for everybody. And so the interesting thing is that in just a few years, this is something that's happening in his life, being here, working at Hendrick Motorsports, still coming to work, doing life, you know, going to race, traveling, leading people. How many people do you think you lead?
I think we have almost 50 now.
In 50 engineers.
Total, yeah.
50 engineers you're leading, and being an example to those and loving them right where they are. And so with that said, is there anything else that you could leave us with, Brian, that would encourage us or help us think about? Because, you know, a lot of people, when they look at our faith, they look at it through a religious lens where we're always trying to, if I could just do and do this and not do this, God will like me. And that's not how it works. None of us can do anything that'll be good enough for God. That's why we need Jesus. And so it's about following, surrendering to Him, and walking out what that looks like in our life. And everybody's on a different journey. So His journey is different than my journey, maybe different than your journey, but His journey is His journey. And God's walking along with Him, with His good friend Chris and his family, and they're walking out what that means to be a follower of Christ. And so what's something, I know we kind of touched on it already, that you could kind of leave everyone with when they think about, hey, my faith in the workplace, like I know we do it down here, but what do you do when you go up there or back there or to the shops or when you're on your private time or when you're with your, at the ball field with people? Like, what does that look like for you? Can you maybe shed some light on that?
Yeah, I think for me, specifically for the workplace, is not be afraid to pray in difficult situations. And those difficult situations are different for everyone. You know, if you're going into a race for the guys that travel, a difficult weekend, you know, or... like I do it a lot right before a meeting when I know that I have to lead the meeting or be part of the meeting or we're going to talk about something that's going to be difficult, is just, you know, it's that surrender, that trying not to white knuckle it all by yourself. And then, you know, outside of the work for me, that, and I've been slacking the past few weeks, is just the quiet time is super important. Excuse me, time with just you and God is extremely important. And, you know, we all, you know, I'm guilty of it, scrolling on my phone and stuff like that. But if you can find 30 minutes and just get in the Word for 30 minutes with just you and God, I won't say guarantee, but I'm an example. He can talk to you and guide you. And that's super important part of my life, that I find when I'm away from it, it really affects my daily. It may not be immediate right there in the moment, but you know, that discipline can turn into a delight. And I certainly have found that. Encourage everyone that just get in there, and sometimes you never know what He's got for you or what He can say for you, whether it's a particular situation you're in then or 3 weeks from now, you're like, oh, okay, now I know why I was in Mark or Matthew or Acts or Leviticus for all the books, right? Yeah. So you never know what God has for you, and the only place really to find that is in the Word. And you know, I truly believe that it is a living Word, because there's several times I'll go back and read the same bit of scripture I know I've read 5 or 6 times, and I'll hear something different.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we thank you for taking the time to sit with us, share a little bit of, about your life. It's not easy to do, especially to talk about your faith at work. But man, we're going to be praying for you in the next couple of weeks.
I appreciate it. We're going to need it.
you get a unique opportunity that a lot of us wish we could be a part of. For your family, hey, let's definitely thank the Lord for Chris, right?
Absolutely.
That somebody came along, and as you said, He would not leave me alone. If there's that one person in your life that will not leave you alone when it comes to them trying to encourage you about your faith, God has got them there for a reason. And you never know the outcome. I'm sure that when Chris was first meeting Brian, he didn't know Brian would be sitting up here talking about him today. And so we thank God for Chris's obedience to being who God's called him to be. But not only that, for God working through him through the power of the Spirit to bring Brian along, which then in turn affects his family. And now we get to hear about that. And guess what happens when we hear about that? We defeat the devil. Not only through the blood of the Lamb, but through the power of His testimony. And so that's why today is a good day. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Brian. We thank you for his commitment to you. God, we know, and Brian would tell you, we know he's not perfect and he's not up here to claim that he is. He's simply someone that's trying to be who you've called him to be. And so we can continue to pray over his life, Lord, that you would give him wisdom as he leads his family and his children. We pray, God, Lord, in the next few weeks as he goes on this journey with several others to Indy, Lord, that you'll just give him wisdom and give him all the information and the tools he needs, Lord, to take his talent and his profession to be successful at the Indy 500. But not only that, Lord, as he continues to lead here at HMS, we just pray, Lord, that you'll help him to lead in a way that honors you, that he'll be a great leader, that people will not be afraid to approach him. He'll be approachable as we know he is, Lord, but you'll use his testimony for your glory. And so, God, as we leave this place, we continue to lift up HMS and the leadership here. We pray for this weekend as we go to Darlington and many other things that are happening throughout the next few weeks. We think of a hospitality department as we plan for a very big fan day coming up in a few weeks, Lord. God, we pray for your favor as we do every week over this place. And we pray for your mercy and grace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.